Blog Talk Radio.
And my sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. Sister Dia is working on a very big project for tonight, so our other host will not be with us this evening. And Brother Feaster, we all know, those of you who have been with us before here on the PRF table know that he's overseas right now serving his country. So because of his military duties on today, even though he's still with us every other week, today he's not able to be with us. So we're just going to do what we know God has called us to do, and that is to talk about today's subject. Tonight's subject, what we're dealing with, is finances and vision. And I have one of our faithful listeners that's going to be on the line just engaging with us inside of this conversation. And after I tell you what the story or what the tonight's show is going to be about, we ask that you just join into the conversation. What we say is press one on your dial pad and on your telephone, and if you're listening to us online, the telephone to call in is 914-338-1692. And if you do that, we'll see you light up on the switchboard. We'll bring you into the conversation. So how we say it here at the PRF table is, if you want to join into this conversation, everybody has the freedom to join into this conversation, to share what's on your heart, share what God is giving you about the subjects, the topics, and what we're talking about here on tonight's show. So with that, we have Ms. Mary Ann Barnett Williams. How are you doing this evening?
I am just doing well, and I am excited. I'm so thankful that I'm honored that I'm, you know, was invited to help you carry out this the vision that God has given you.
Amen, amen. Hey, what I like to tell people, we all do it together. You know, brother, you know, God gave me the vision for this show a couple of years ago, allowed me to ask Brother Feaster and Sister Adia to labor with me. So I'm not the host and they're not the co-host. We are all our hosts on this show. Or, like I always say, all three of us are the co-hosts and God is the host. So that's how we do it. So it's not all about me. It's about what God has placed inside of his people. And you never know who God has placed out there to be able to help us get the message of what we're trying to get across tonight. So tonight what we're going to be talking about, Sister Mary, is finances and vision. And as
yes,
the PRF table just deals with more than just finances, it deals with possessions, resources, and finances. But I guess I didn't want to use possessions, resources, and finances and vision as the topic for tonight. So we're going to touch on all three of the subjects like we always do. And for those who of you who have your Bibles, it's not required because we're going to talk about them, but the text that we're really going to use tonight and focus on primarily is going to be out of Habakkuk, the second chapter. And for those of you who may have heard it before, it sounds like this. Write the vision and make it plain. Now, I'm cutting it short, but we're actually going to deal with it a little bit. So Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, basically. And the other scripture that we're going to be talking about is going to be coming from the 14th chapter of Luke, the 25th through the 33rd verse. For those of you who are listening for the first time, I always like to try the best I can to share with our listeners how do we come up with this topic or what was placed in our heart. And one of the things that I was thinking about when it comes to the finances, I think about why people are in some of the financial situations that they're in, good, bad, or indifferent. So I'm not just talking about from a negative perspective. Why are people in the type of financial situations that they're in, good, bad, or indifferent? And when we think about that, you know, some people are in better financial situations than others. Some people are struggling. There's a lot of people in our country, 9 million to be exact, not 90 million as I heard somebody say the other day running for office, but 9 million people are unemployed in this country. That's a lot of people. So when I think about what's going on in our country where a lot of people are unemployed, where a lot of people, when we think about that 9 million number, we don't consider the people who are underemployed. So how many people do you know that are really underemployed, that are worth more than where they're at, but for whatever reason they're at a certain place, whether God has ordained for them to be there through a certain season or because they're in a job and this is the best thing going because that's the only thing, quote-unquote, that's really inside their community. So tonight's show, my brothers and my sisters, is really an extension of one of the 10 lessons in the PRF program, which is planning. So when we talk about what we're going to be talking about tonight, just remember that this is a lot has a lot to do with planning. So, Sister Mary.
Yes.
I know you've already read the scripture, so what is it that you have grabbed from the scripture? And if you want to read it, that's perfectly fine because, again, we're just having conversation tonight. But what is it from Habakkuk chapter 2 that actually stood out to you? And, again, if you want to read it, you have more than enough freedom to be able to do that.
Okay, I would just like to read it. It says, of course, Habakkuk 2, and I'm starting with chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. It says, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it." And when I read that, if I stop there, then I would be saying, okay, God, he's given me a vision, and now I can do it. But if you read down to go another verse down to verse 3, it says, "But the vision is yet for an appointed time." But the vision is yet for an appointed time. And one thing that I have found, even in my own life, you know, I've had a vision about a certain situation, and I'm so excited about it, you know. And the Bible tells you don't be anxious for anything, but I'm so excited about it, and I go and I tell everybody, you know what I'm saying? And that's not wisdom, because we don't, you know, because you know you start getting a lot of feedback. I tried that, but that didn't work, and I tried that, you know. And so you have all these voices. So really, now you're kind of all mixed up here. So it's just better, like the word says, be still and know that I am God. And then it also says, but at the end it shall speak. That means you're going to know. But when the vision comes and you're just so excited about it and everything, and you've heard everybody, then that fear, that doubt can come in and unbelief. Then you'd be fearful because this one said they put this kind of money out. So it's just better to be still. And it says, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. Wait for it, because it will surely come. Now he says it will surely come and it will not tarry. So if you know that this is the vision God's given us, and you know that, okay, I'm not going to be anxious for anything. The Bible tells me not to be anxious for anything, so I'm not going to be anxious about this vision that God has given me, you know. And he says it's for a point in time, so there is going to be a time. And sometimes God will equip you for the vision. And then it says, but at the end of it, it shall speak, and it's not going to lie. See, so we don't have to listen to whatever. You don't have to be so excited to tell everybody what the vision is. And say the majority of the people that you're telling, they don't know the vision. They only know what they have done and what has happened to them. And it surely said it's not going to lie, but it's going to tarry. So he says, and to me, it's like wait for it, because it will surely come and will not tarry. And so that's just so important to me. Because I know that I get excited about things, you know. And at times I have really, really missed out. Because then I start thinking on what they are saying. Now, remember, I've already asked God. I already know. But now because I'm listening to everybody who has done different things and how they fail, now I am fearful. So that's why he says, be still and know that I am God. And he also says, do not put your trust and confidence in man. And he says, don't lean on our own understanding. So my understanding can be, okay, oh, she did it that way, so that's the way I'm going to do it. He says, no, do not put no trust and confidence in man. Do not lean on your own understanding or anybody else's understanding. I'm adding that to it. He says, but acknowledge me in all your ways. He says, and I'm will direct your path. Amen.
All right. And I want to go back, too, because you did start off at verse 2 and verse 3, and you said a lot. You talked a lot about, you know, and I asked you the question, and you gave it to us just how it was laid upon your heart. You know, what does that scripture mean to me? And I think that's important, Sister Mary, because a lot of times we have to be able to do what a lot of people may not be willing to do, and that's to make the Word of God practical inside of our lives.
Yes.
The Bible, it has a lot of historical facts to it, what we believe are historical facts or historical truths or biblical truths, whatever terminology we would like to use. But a lot of it is history. Now, the other part of that is history is good, but we're also living in the present, and we also know that there's a future coming. So taking this scripture, how do I make this relative for my life today? How, as a ministerial leader, do I make it relevant for the people that God allows me to speak a word to or to teach? And when I mentioned earlier that this was a component to the PRF planning lesson, I was really serious because a lot of times we found out, we've had some shows about it, that planning is something that a lot of people may or may not do. I look at it one of two ways. If you are a planner, I want to be around you. I want to understand how you plan these things. If you're not necessarily a planner, it's not that I don't want to be around you, but I should be, if I have that skill, or if I have that talent of planning or the wisdom of planning, then I should be willing to share that with others.
Yes.
There's a lot of people that have gone and done some things in their life, not saying a bad thing, but because of lack of planning, it has made things a little bit worse. So let me explain to you what I mean. There's some people, let's talk about PRF and take each one of these individually. There may be somebody who says, I want a new car. Have you ever heard anybody say, I want a new car?
Yes.
What about, I want a car? How many teenagers say, I want a car when they get their first job or while they're in high school? As soon as they get their license, they think they should get a car.
Yes.
I was like, right? Okay, so that's one of the possessions. I want a car. I want this. What about I want a house? Whatever those materialistic things. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen? There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, these are things that I want. What about the resources? I want a job. I want a better job. I want to go to school. Well, education is a resource, right? A job is a resource because it provides finances. It also provides a way to help accumulate retirement. It helps. It's another way of accumulating Social Security. So people want those things. And what about specifically the finances in PRF? Some people want to retire. So some people are on job, struggling through a job for the next 12 years because they have 12 years before they retire. But sometimes that may not be the best thing to do. Some people just want money. Some people, I had a person to tell me today that they wanted a new job. As a matter of fact, it was yesterday. They said that they wanted a new job. They were contemplating a new job, and they said it pays X amount of dollars more than what they're making right now. And they made the comment, well, everybody could use more money. Well, I don't know about that, but he can say or she can say, I can use more money. So those are all those desires. Those are the things that they're wanting. So let's talk about Habakkuk. Write the vision to make it plain. It's good to want things, and this is where I'm going. It's good to want things out of life, and there's nothing wrong with that, nothing at all.
Yes.
But can we step back a minute and evaluate whatever it is that we're wanting? If we take a step back and evaluate, then we may get something revealed. I can write a plan down in my own mind. I can say by the time I'm 25, I'm going to do this. By the time I'm 35, I'm going to do this. By the time I'm 40, I'm going to retire from the military. And then I'm going to get a second job working for the government. Then I'm going to work till I'm 55. Then I'm going to retire at the age of 55. I can make that plan. But what I want to do is bring people's minds back, those of you who are listening.
Yes.
I'm trying to offer an alternative. And you can jump in, Sister Mary, if you want. But I'm presenting an alternative. Why not seek God for the vision of that thing that you want?
Yes.
I'm under the belief that if we seek God for vision of that thing, that possession, that resource, that finding those finances that we're wanting or that we believe that we need or that may get presented to us, I want to believe if God gives us vision, that that's a whole lot better than me sitting down with a pen and paper writing it down myself.
Right. And I'm going back to what I had said earlier. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. I'm coming from Proverbs 3, 5. And I'm going to go to 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. And he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And that's what you were talking about. Why not seek him? Because he says here, all thy ways. He didn't say, well, you know, I need a new car. And God, I need a new car. And, you know, just give me a plan on how to do this. But then when it comes to, you know, your education, or whether you should go back to school, it's, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to go to school. No, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And he also says, do not be wise in thy own, in their own eyes. And so to me, you know, I can, like you said, I can sit down and I can, you know, I can write my plan and everything. And so, but I'm not seeking God on it. You know, I'm not really seeking direction, should I say, on it. But he says for me, because I can be, you know, you can be highly educated and everything. And so I'm leaning on my, say I'm leaning on my education and my experience in the corporate world. But here he says, be not wise in thy own eyes. So again, he says, fear the Lord. You know, fear the Lord. And that's, fear means reverence, you know, reverence him in all thy ways. I'm just rephrasing it. Reverence him in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct their paths. So for me, where I'm in my life now, I need God's approval on what I do. Because I can do many things, but only those things that he approves is he going to back me on. And that's all I have to say.
I like how you put it into a personal context, because
yes.
One thing that we do have to be cognizant of, you know, yes, we're talking from our perspective and from where our faith walk is, but some people just ain't there.
Yes,
you know, some
yes,
people are just
yes.
not going to go and seek God. Yes, although
right.
we're putting that out there, that would be, from our perspective, that would be a very good thing to do. Because when we
right.
see vision being given throughout the Bible, we see positive results. I say positive results. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be good and happy, but they're positive
right.
results, because if God gives the vision, then that's really all that matters. You can feel good and you can feel confident and you can have peace knowing, well, God gave me the vision for this.
Right.
I think there was somebody else, I'm getting off subject, but I think there was somebody named Hosea.
Oh,
that
yes.
had received a vision about a wife.
Yes,
that wasn't
yes.
Proverbs 31 woman. So, you know, all the vision all the time is not going to be what we're going to look at as to our benefit. It may not be in the best particular light, but it's relevant. And God knows
yes.
what he's doing whenever he provides vision to his people. One
right.
of the things that I want to do is go back, dealing with possession, resources, and finances, is I want us to look at verse 1, because I know you read verse 2 and 3. But verse
yes.
1 is very, very, very crucial. Verse 1 says, I will climb up into my watchtower, and I will wait to see what the Lord will say to me and how he'll answer. I'm going to climb into my watchtower, or I'm going to stand at my watch, stand at my station, and I'm going to wait to see what the Lord will say to me. That is so, so crucial.
Yes,
when you
it
said,
is.
I think you mentioned, you said it, you said, be still and know that I'm God. That's Psalm
yes.
46. In the 10th verse. That is very, very crucial. Now, a lot of people, I don't want anybody to misunderstand and think that when the Lord says, be still and know that I am God, that means you sit and you do nothing.
Right.
It's talking
true.
About having the peace of God. Be still. Operate in whatever that area is that you need to operate in as you're waiting on God to reveal himself. So in this case, in Habakkuk, he stood up on top of a mountain.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I can tell you it's going to take me a couple hours to get to some mountains from where I live down here in the South. But back at home,
yes,
back in Philly, you know, mountains were a little bit closer than where they are down here where I live right now. But the fact
yes
of the matter is we don't have to go to a mountaintop.
Right.
We can go to that special place within our home. We can make sure we connect with God in a way when everybody's away, we take that time to be alone with God, because it's about being able to commune with God and being able to hear from God and hear what he's trying to say to us. Notice what he said again. I'm going to wait to see what the Lord will say. That don't even sound right. I'm going to wait to see what the Lord will say. Normally when you see, you use your eyes. Normally when you
yes
hear, you use the ears.
Yes.
I'm going to let that sink in for a minute. I'm going to wait to see what the Lord will say to me.
Well,
that lets
to me,
you, that lets you know this is a spiritual thing. Go ahead, sister.
What I was going to say is that, you know, it's times when, you know, God doesn't give it all to us, but he'll just show us, you'll see glimpse. You know, so things begin to happen. We'll let you know that, okay, I'm going to continue to wait. Okay, I'm going to continue to wait. And see, and this one we cannot get. That's why when he says, you know, to me, I'm just saying to me to be still, that means, you know, you're expecting to hear from him. Not your girlfriend, but you're expecting to hear. So he was expecting God to tell him. And that's why he says, I'm going to, you know, see what he will say. That means what God's going to say. I want to hear what God's going to say, not man. Amen.
and let me also say, we never want to take away out of the equation man from what God is in. And I think that's something that I'm sensing right now. Okay, I'm going to wait to hear what God says. God does not always speak directly to every last one of us. God uses people, places, and things to speak to us as well. It may be a song.
Yes.
It may be an individual. It may be your enemy. So the vision may come in a way that is just a little bit different, a little bit different than we think about it.
Yes,
so what I look
true
at it is, and what I'm getting at is, if we just take the opportunity to position ourselves. So let me make a couple of statements.
That's it, yes.
Let me make a couple of statements. In order to write down the vision, you have to have received the vision.
Yes.
In order to write
yes
down the vision, you have to have received the vision. If you don't haven't received the vision and you write down something, you're just writing down a plan.
That's right. That's
now,
good.
Watch this. I'm not saying that writing down a plan that you shouldn't do it. Sometimes you may not get the vision, but God has given you the plan. Excuse me. Or you may have developed the plan. Let's be real. You may get the plan, but God may not have given you the vision. That doesn't mean you don't continue to pray and ask for and put yourself in position to receive the plan or to receive the actual vision. So what I'm looking
right
at is, in order to write down a vision, you have to receive the vision. Now,
right,
here's two points I'm going to break off from this. The first point is this. In order to receive the vision, I think two things have to happen. I'm just thinking. I'm just believing. This is what God has given me. The first thing is the vision must be given.
Okay.
I don't want to receive anything from anybody. I want to receive the vision about my possessions. I want to receive the vision about my resources. I want to receive the vision about my finances from God, first and foremost. How God sends it doesn't matter to me. I want to receive it. But in order to receive it, I got to be, and this is the second point, we must be in the right position.
Position. That's good. That's good.
We must be in the right position. If we're in the right position to receive, let me give you an analogy. If you ever watched a baseball game, you see somebody that is standing up called the batter with the bat in his hand. And then there's somebody that's kneeling down that's in a crouched position behind them with the glove waiting to receive the ball. when you swing a baseball bat, if I'm the pitcher, let me go here. If I'm the pitcher and I throw the ball, I want my catcher, the person behind the batter, to receive it if I get a strike, if I strike the person, meaning I throw the ball, he strikes, swings at it, and he misses. I want the person behind him to catch that ball. I want them to receive it. Now, that's a good thing in baseball. That's a good thing in sports. Now, I may throw it. The person may hit the ball, pop it up in the air, and somebody else in the outfield may catch it. For the team's sake, it's still a good play. So it's not going to be all strikes. No pitcher throws what we call no-hitters, for those of you who watch baseball. No pitcher throws no-hitters every time they get up to bat. I mean, get up to pitch at a game. So we want to be in a position where we know that it's going to come in different ways. For Habakkuk, it came on the top of a mountain. So if you're looking to, if you're looking to mirror this, it may just not happen like that. The key is being connected with God so that when the vision comes, you're able to receive it, and not only being able to receive it, but you're in the right position. Because if you're in the right position, I'm guaranteeing you this, God is speaking, but it's up to us to hear him.
Right. That's right.
God is speaking, but it's up to us. Go ahead, sis.
What I was thinking about, when you were talking about position, and I was making, you know, the Lord had put in my spirit to move here to Jacksonville, where I didn't know anyone. And it just sort of come upon me, Jacksonville. Well, let me tell you just a little bit of the story. I was here taking care of someone in Richland. So it's only about maybe about 30 minutes away. And so I was single at the time, and I said, gee, you know, she had been like a second mother to me. And so she was very sick, and the family asked me, would I step in and help her? So I said, sure I would, you know. So then I was thinking myself, well, I could just move right down here. And there's an apartment was right behind her house. And so I'm thinking, I could move down here. So as I'm thinking about it and everything, and then I started looking, you know, for churches and things of that nature. Then I started looking for apartments and everything. And then it came into my spirit, no, Jacksonville. And, you know, I was saying, no, I don't know anybody in Jacksonville. But to make a long story short, when I started calling apartments, I called someone in I called Jacksonville. And I spoke to the landlord of these apartments, and then after that she had told me I was going to be on waiting list for everything for long, for about 5 years, everything. And then it's just the way it just moved so fast, so smooth. And when I make a long story short, I didn't even know everything was done over the phone. And so I moved here, and then as I began to move, I began to know, and things were beginning to happen for me, and I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I was in the right place. So if I had decided, no, I don't know anybody here, I'm going to stay in Troutman, I would have missed what God had for me here in Jacksonville. So it is very good to be in the right position. That's what
That's
I say.
Good. I mean, My heart's desire for all of the listeners who listen to the PRF table, and again, if you have something that you want to say, something that's burning your heart, press one of your dial pad, go to the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances. There's a link out there that's designed directly for tonight's show, and if you put some comments on there, we guarantee you we'll read them on the air. Positioning is important. I'm glad you gave that story, that I'm not going to say a story, testimony. I'm glad you were able to affect somebody to be able to see that sometimes when you pay attention to the vision. And again, I said sometimes when you pay attention to the vision, because there ain't nothing wrong with the vision. The vision is, so when the vision is put out there, again, it's for us to grab it. When that pitcher throws the ball, the job of that receiver is to receive.
Amen.
So how we position ourselves, which means that goes back. Again, this thing goes hand in hand with planning. We have to be willing to write down the plan, write down the vision, and not look at one thing over the other. So here's what I'll throw out at to us again, or this time. look at John 14, verse 13 to 14. And I'll just tell you, it says, anything that you ask for in my name. So what I'm proposing is this. If there is something that you're looking to do with your possessions, if there's something that you're looking to do with your resources or with your finances, I'm going to suggest that why not ask God for it? When Habakkuk, he went up to the mountain, this was not, in chapter 2, this was not the first time there was a conversation. This was the second time he was complaining about something. Go back and look at chapter 1. So sometimes we have to, not just the waiting for it, sometimes we may have to go back. I'm not talking about begging God for the vision, but we may have to put it out there more than once.
Right, right. And that's
may
good
have to
because
put it out there more than once. Go ahead, go ahead.
What else? I was just excited here. Excuse me. I didn't mean to talk over you. But I remember when I was in Florida, and the church was going to Oklahoma, you know, to see Kenneth Hagin conference, and we were going to be there a whole week. Now, I had just moved there, and I didn't have much money. And so the pastor was talking about believing God in this same scripture, the scripture here, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And so I'm new and everything, you know, at that church. So, and I'm listening. So I said, God, I said, I thank you, because he said, you thank God for the answer. So I said, first I asked God for, I said, God, you know, I don't have any money here to go on this trip. You know, I said, but I want to go on this trip. You know what I mean? And I said, I'm just going to believe that you're going to do this. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And so I ended up babysitting. Lady need a babysitter. I ended up babysitting this lady, and so she told me, she says, I'm making a long story short here. She says, you can go to Oklahoma. And she says, now, it was $650 for the whole week, okay, for the hotel and everything included with breakfast. And she says, you can stay with me. Now, and I said, oh, my God, thank you so much. I'm so excited. I'm just believing God and just, you know, giving this, just speaking word over it. 2 weeks. In time before the trip, the pastor says, okay, it's time for you to turn in your money. Well, I didn't have the money, and then I got in fear. And so I was, another sister came up to me, and she says, Marion, you going to Oklahoma? And I said, no, I said, because I don't know if I'm going to have the money or not. And so the assistant pastor said, he says, sister, where is your faith? You know what I mean? And then I got all nervous and everything. So I went back home, and I repented to God for not believing it. So that was Wednesday. Sunday, someone said, this sister wanted to see me. So I went over there, and she says, are you going to Oklahoma? So I was so bad wanted to say no, but I said, yes, I'm going. And said, here is your ticket to fly. Amen.
Mm.
It was going and coming. She said, because I was going to go, but she said something came up. So she said, you can have my ticket. And so I said, I'll pay you back. She said, no, you can just have it. I'm just bless you with it. So I stayed. I was there in a $650 room. And I also was there for a whole week, 6 days. And I didn't have to worry about my hotel fare. And so, you know, the word is true. The word is true. Now, it's times that you don't always get what you want. But see, our job is to believe. Our job is to believe. And if the door closes, and this is the way I look at it. If I'm asking God for something and I don't receive it and I'm doing all that I'm supposed to do, then I'm believing, okay, God, okay, you close the door. That's not meant to be. And I'm just content with that. That's just me. But, it took a while to get there, you know, but that's where I am now. Yes, so that was just amazing, you know. And then it was another time when the pastor had said, you know, if you don't have money, go out and minister to people. So it was another trip that in Oklahoma, and I had the money to go and everything, but I didn't have a lot of money. You know what I'm saying, to buy books and tapes and all that stuff. So I remember what he said. So I saw a young person, and I started, I started talking to them and everything, and I was just, you know, talking to them about, you know, keeping them themselves, et cetera, and I didn't know the mother was standing behind me all that time, and we must have been talking for about 45 minutes, and the young person was talking with me, and then I said, well, I'll talk to you later. So I turned around to the mother. She said, you said the exact words that I've been telling her for a long, long time. So then I walk on over to the table, and I'm looking at the books and tapes. And then there was another brother, and he was looking at books and tapes. I said, these are nice books and tapes. I said, I would like to have this book here. And here is someone behind me. Say, sister, you can have that. Get that book. I looked around. They said, yeah, you go ahead and get that book. So I got the book I want. So it just showed. I was just like, wow, God, this word works, you know. And I was, you know, an infant in the world to you. I didn't know much, but that word was working for me then. I was so excited, you know, because, you know, right. God's word is true. I mean, when he says it, but we also have to look at the other side when he says no. We have to still continue to praise him, still believe that he has our best. Because he says, I don't think any evil of you. He loves us unconditional. So we still have, he's still our God anyhow.
That's all right. I
got to say.
All right. But evidently you done got somebody stirred up, Mama. Caller with the last four, 7556. Welcome to the PRF table.
Hey, how is everybody? Everybody, how is everybody doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you good.
Okay. Yeah, I had a couple of things that came to mind. Just listening to, just finding out, mother. Hey, mom, how you doing?
Hi.
This is exciting. I was thinking as you guys were talking, and I was just kind of sitting back and just, you know, just reading through these scriptures and listening to you guys, and a couple of things came to mind. Kind of going back a little bit about vision and as far as the plans and financial planning, and that being, I guess you could say, Christ-centered. How can we center our vision? How can we center our plans? How can we center the things that we really desire in Christ? And so I was just thinking about how, you know, me personally, how I have come, you know, to grips and come to learn how to center Christ into everything that I do, or base everything I do around Christ. And I guess I come away with Scripture being the number one and the only source of, I guess you could say, authority that allows me to be able to see and understand what the vision of God is. And so I guess I'm trying to say, not to be too long, I guess I'm trying to say that I always believe that we should look and see what is God's vision, or what is the mission that God is on, and we align ourselves according to that mission. And so once we understand, okay, I think it's what Isaiah says, that basically God created us all for his glory. And so God is all about glorifying himself. He's all about his own glory. And so when we're talking about finances, or we're talking about vision and really aligning that vision up, that's why I believe Scripture is so important, so we can look into Scripture and see, okay, this is the main mission that God has. It's a mission of saving souls. It's a mission of redeeming the lost. It's a mission of, you know, taking care of the poor, the widow, the orphan, the homeless. You know, it's those type of missions. And I've always just been one to, and you guys could just, you know, chime in on this. I've always been one to say, okay, if that's what I see in Scripture, the main primary mission that I see of God is that redemption, that reconciliation of his children, that, you know, that restoration of people, you know, who are hurt and, you know, who are you know, are downtrodden, and, you know, seeing that being his mission, me aligning my vision up with that. And so whenever I'm talking about, I guess specifically in my own context, talking about pastoring a church, I never wanted to pastor a church and come up with a great slogan, or, you know, what can we make the vision be and it sound good, something catchy. I just said, let's just go to Scripture and see that God is about us knowing him, salvation, us gaining a deeper relationship with him, sanctification, our growth in him, and making him known. That's advancing the gospel. And so those just are the three things that I normally see whenever I'm talking about vision, even for the church, corporately and both personally as a Christian myself, is that – oh, excuse me. Son, wait a minute. Is that vision? So maybe you guys can be able to, speak on that as far as, the importance of Scripture and us aligning our vision or our desires with what God is already doing in the earth.
Well, that is so full, because God says, it says, let God's word be truth and let every man be a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And the word is truth. I didn't get saved until I was 40. And so I didn't know anything about the Bible, never read the Bible before. But once, I got some teaching under my belt, and I started really reading and understand and asking God, show me, because I don't know anything about the Bible. I've never read the Bible, et cetera, et cetera. I need you to teach me, because I don't know anything about the Bible, And I learned a lot. I did a lot of studying. I asked God to lead me to books to help me understand it and everything, And, you hear different, you go to one, they have another, they have their, what they believe the Scripture means, you go to another, and I said, God, I am so confused. I need you to lead me to some books. Then you get the thing where you're asking too many questions, depending on the church you're in. And it was just like, God, I need you to lead me to some books. Because when I was at Temple University studying criminal justice and how they gave us all these books to read with our textbook. So I'm saying, okay, I don't know much, but I know that they're telling me that this is the law. So I need you to give me some books, so that I can get some interpretation here. And that's exactly what he did on the topics I was trying to learn. He would give me some understanding on it, And so I know that, we don't want, to me, you want to be spiritual. You don't want to be religious, I wanted, because I was so religious, because I was in a religious environment. But as I moved on and I said, Lord, let me know other churches, I began to understand the understanding spiritual. It's not about me. It's not all about me and me not going to hell, because that mainly what I'll happen, And then I go home and wonder, Lord, gee, I'm not perfect, God. Am I going to go to hell? Because that's all I was hearing. You don't want to go to hell, But as you become spiritual and understand, like you say, the sanctification and justification and things of that nature, and understand that it's nothing that I could do to be worthy of what Jesus did. Amen. That's good.
Yeah. And I guess to kind of piggyback on that, I was just thinking about, it just came to my mind when Mother was talking. I guess I'm thinking of it in this way, and maybe coming from a different angle. You have, I believe there's a, and I don't want to get too deep, but I think there's a sovereign will of God, and then there's a permissive will of God. And basically, yeah. Simply what those mean, that basically the sovereign will of God is something that we don't have no control over anyway. We can't stop it from happening. Those things are something like, Jesus Christ returning. We can't stop him from returning. Jesus Christ raising from the dead. We can't, we have no say-so on those things.
Right.
We have no say-so whether the world ends. But when he talks about his permissive will, we're talking about, those things that God desires that we do. He desires that we love our neighbors. He desires that we forgive one another. He desires that we give to the poor. He desires, all those great things as far as our, I guess you could say, Christian ethics. How do we live amongst each other as Christians, as Christ-like examples?
Amen.
And so when so coming around in a circle, when I look at vision or desires or things that we want to do in life, for example, I think they're outside, and I'm using the lack of better terms when I say outside things, but for example, I want to go get a job at, I want to work with Brother Dunlap, I'm using this for an example. I think he's doing well financially. I think, and so I want to be a part of what he's doing. I don't personally believe that, that's something that I have to wait to hear from God on. And I want to say this. I want to be clear so I won't come off the wrong way. But I don't think, for example, I have to pray and say, God, can I go get that job? Or God, I need you to tell me if I should marry my wife. Or God, I need you to tell me what I should eat. Should I eat bologna sandwich or ham? You know, I think the church has gotten to a place where we want God to kind of hold our hand at every step, and God is telling us that we have the freedom and the free will to be able to make these great choices, and he gives us in Scripture principles to say, okay, Jason, if you do want to marry a wife, you know, a woman, then you have Proverbs 31. You have, you know, you have different texts in Scripture that give principles of what a woman should look like, and so you know from 1 Corinthians chapter 7 not to marry an unbeliever. You know all those type of things. You know, so you know how to choose. It gives you wisdom, like you gave a Proverbs 3:3-5, and so we know that we shouldn't lean into our own understanding. And so again, making that full circle when it comes to vision and with our finances, I'm seeing probably a very simple, primitive way of us, you know, when we talk about finances and planning for it. I just think what we receive, what we bring in, based on the decisions that jobs that we make, what we bring in, we give generously, give cheerfully to the ministry, to the church, to the mission, you know, all those types of things, and we take care of our family, you know, we do those things or whatever. And I'm not, you can help me here because, you know, this is not my strong point when it comes to finances. But that's just what I'm seeing because you know, I'm just seeing it very in a simple way as far as just connecting with what, you know, that mission of God, you know, taking care of the poor, taking care of, you know, widows, taking care of those things, you know, and the restoration of his people. So giving to that cause, giving to that, you know, and to that, you know, and to that purpose, giving to that movement, I think is a great financial plan. And I think that is in many ways the way I see in Scripture that we should, you know, we should plan financially.
And you know what comes.
Just a minute. Before you go, because I know you ready to. I know you, like Brother Feaster, ready to jump out the gate. But speaking of Brother Feaster has now joined us, so I definitely want to make sure.
I was just thinking about him.
Since he is about 15 hours away in a different time zone, I definitely want to open up the mic for him and let him join in with us.
Yes.
So, Brother Feaster, if you are ready to go, the mic is all yours. You know, nobody has taken your sheet at the table, my brother.
Well, amen, amen. It's such a pleasure to be on and to be able to be on. I had a very, very, very long night last night. I actually just woke up. I had the morning off, but after that long night, me and my boss decided to take the day off, so, which is always good. I'm sitting here listening to the caller, and I'm getting elated because he said something. Sir, you said something that just really – that is so profound but yet so simple. I always tell people the word of God is so deep that you can get drowned in, but yet it's so shallow that you can step in and only get your feet wet. So a lot of times what we do is we go in so deep that, you know, we should just be stepping in the water. And when you said we don't have to pray about it, that's a very controversial statement that is so true. And you followed it up by saying that the Bible gives us principles and gives us guidelines so that we don't have to pray about everything. Now, I say that with a grain of salt and flip the coin because, yes, God wants us to pray about everything, but the other side to that is he also wants us to study it in Scripture. If we see it in Scripture and we're not distorting it to say what we want to say, then that's fine. That's fine. You know, when it comes, like you said, perfect example. When it comes to looking for a spouse, by the time we start praying and asking God, is this who he or is this who she is, we should have already gone through Proverbs 31 if we're looking for a female. We should have already gone through there. You know, we shouldn't be standing right here at the altar and all of a sudden now, Lord, is this the one you want me to marry? No, go back to Proverbs 31 and see, is this the woman that God even designed for you first, you know, and then when you're looking for a woman, you use the guidelines and the principles. And I'm gonna explain it in the story like this. a lot of times, most people, when they buy something from the store, they open the package, they plug it up, they turn it on, and they sit down and they enjoy it. However, there's an instruction manual in there. And a lot of times what happens is we don't know all the possibilities, or even, especially when it comes to putting together furniture, the easy way of putting it together. So at the end, when we got this big old entertainment center and we're finished and we got five or six pieces, but it looks like the finished product, but we still got five or six pieces left. And we have no idea what happened, what we did wrong. And so what God is saying is, as you're putting this thing together, the Bible is our instructions that we should be looking into as we're putting this together. Don't wait till the end and all of a sudden now we want to go to the Bible. I'm not going to say it's too late, because God could come in at any minute, but it's too late. It's too late. We have to use the guidelines and the principles that God has already. And that's why so many people, we find ourselves, you know, in situations and trying to figure out how do we get there.
Amen.
Because a lot of times, and I'm speaking for myself, there's been a couple of situations where, you know, I prayed about it at the end. And all of a sudden, I'm expecting God to come in and be Superman. God is not obligated to be Superman if you just start with the principles ahead of time.
That's
no, we my father in the ministry used to always say, building a house and then putting God's name on it. That's not the intent. That's not the intent. The intent is to go to God for the blueprint and then build the house based on the blueprint that he's already given.
Amen.
And so when we're talking about this, when we're talking about faith and we're talking about daily living, that's what we need to look at. God does not want God never intended for us to be robots. That's why we have free will. But God also knew about sin nature, so he gave us principles and guidelines to help us through this. In the end, it's my decision anyway. But why
that's
not
right.
use the instructions that God has set up for me? So, I mean, that your comment was very, man, it just stirred me up. It just stirred me up, so I'm thankful.
Well, Brother Feaster, since you stirred somebody else up, so we got another person on the line. So I'm leaving everybody's mic open. So we step on each other's toes, we step on each other's toes. Caller with the last four, 5087, you are at the PRS table. Welcome.
Thank you. I just have a statement I want to make, and I'm not going to make any dust because it's been so good, everybody's contribution tonight. But I just wanted to say that group of people that Habakkuk was prophesying to was a group of people that felt doomed, and they did not really have, I guess, enough motivation from coming back from Babylon to get themselves together. So he had to really try to get them up and running. He had to proclaim that loud and to really write it out for them to get their lives back together. And at some point in my life, I probably was like them until God took me to another part of my life and I understood my calling. So I no longer was looking at what I could get out of his purpose he had me here for individually. I looked at it more on a collective platform, what he had called me to do to help bring in or usher in the understanding of why Jesus came. So I think sometimes the vision, a purpose, a calling, we can sort of get them sort of mixed up. You know, as to what we are here to do, and I'm not going to even go back into the Old Testament with that group of people because there was so much going on back there that they, you know, the prophets weren't even they weren't even accepted. They were trying to do everything they possibly could, write it, post it, speak it, and everything, but it was just being walked all over top of. But like I said, for me individually, I had to see where I was, and I have a scripture that. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of bondage. So I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you.
That's good. That's real good. I think is that my phone? I'm hearing a little. Okay.
I just had to give some applause to everybody who for all those comments. Oh. So, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking of just on what the sister said, and going back to Dunlap, you made a statement as far as I think vision. When we're talking about that vision, and she said something that was very, very powerful. She basically was saying like, okay, I had previously been looking at my life or looking at my purpose in an individualistic perspective. You know, what can I do? You know, what is God doing in my life? And, you know, how is God, you know, grooming me, raising me? And I think that is a lot of what we're seeing in the primarily the Western church, specifically America, if you will, an individualistic Christianity or an independent Christianity. And so, you know, when we're talking about vision, it's so many churches that are they're trying to operate independently or as individuals and not corporately, and you know, and going more in depth as far as talking about us personally. If we know that God is all about, again, redemption, the redemption of his people, the reconciliation of us back to the Father. God is all about, you know, our sanctification. You know, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says that God wills our sanctification. That's something that God wills. He desires that we're being made more into the image of Christ. You know, God desires all those things. If I think we won't have as much controversy if people, again, are being taught how to, you know, grow in their relationship with God, understand their gifts, and when they understand their gifts, they understand what they should be doing and what part and role they play. They know where they fit in the body. And so, you know, Paul gives that great analogy of the body. He talks about, you know, there are different parts and everybody plays a part. Everybody's not a heart. Everybody's not a pinky. You know, and so everybody playing that part. And I just think this is just an awesome night that we're having, because it's really encouraging, you know, for me as a pastor of a church now, you know, moving into that pastorship. You know, at first I was really looking at all of the outside things. I was looking at my finances and saying, okay, God, can I do this because I don't have the finances to do this, or should I do this? And I've talked to so many different pastors of church planning organizations, and, you know, they would tell me that, you know, a church planning organization wouldn't accept you. They wouldn't endorse you because you don't have 25 to 35 adults that's committed to your vision. And so that was real challenging for me. And, you know, and basically I had to say, I think like Mother said, I had to kind of cut off all the other microphones, if you will. And I had to really get to scripture and say, okay, God, what are you about? Let me just join what you're about. You said that it's a noble thing to desire the office of an elder. You said that it's a great thing that basically, you know, we desire to, you know, to join with you and go out and reach the lost. We do Matthew 28:19-20. And so, you know, and so maybe that I'm just hoping that, you know, this is encouraging for somebody else that, you know, maybe thinking about, you know, God, what can I do, or launching out and doing something that, you know, everybody may not be doing. But if you know Christ is doing it, you see it in the scripture, then I think is you don't have to ask God to give me a word to go, or you don't have to wait for an unction, you don't have to wait for goosebumps, you don't have to wait for you don't have to have fleece in the dew with Gideon, you don't have to go through all that type of stuff. That's what I'm gonna just leave it as. If we see it in scripture, and it's a God thing, I don't think we have to wait on the audible voice. I don't think we have to wait on, you know, the pastor that's over you to hear the vision first and you hear it second and all the other type of stuff that we hear. I think you should just go ahead and move forward because it's in scripture. There's no way. If you meet the qualifications, I guess specifically talk about clergy, if you meet the qualifications, what are you waiting on? If you need those qualifications, then what? Yeah, and I'm gonna just leave it at that.
Don't leave it at that. Don't leave it at that. You at the table. Say it. something needs to be said and somebody needs to hear.
Yeah, so and that I'm gonna just leave it there. And this is just heavy on my heart because it's something that I've wrestled with. I'm gonna just open up the door a little bit. I've wrestled with the burden to pastor a church for over 5 years, and
wow.
And primarily that wrestle was not because God wasn't speaking. It was because so many other people were speaking against what God had already said in His Word. It was so many people saying, you know, yeah, you're qualified, but wait. Yeah, you meet all the qualifications, but wait. Yeah, you're competent, but wait. And I was basically being used and manipulated and basically continuing to sit on the lap of a father who didn't want to give up his son.
I want to agree with you on what you're saying, brother, and I don't want to interrupt you, but
sure.
Not so much as you have to be a pastor and standing in a pulpit, but God spoke to me and said, I have called you to love, justice, and service.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to know that for myself, that He had chosen me, just like the scripture I read. Regardless mm-hmm. of what others may have said, I had to step on out into that
mm-hmm.
and began the work to do it. And others may have not been on my side. Like Paul was at some times this morning in my meditation, he said he was left. I mean, he had to encourage Timothy to continue on because the ones he thought were going to be with him left him.
Amen.
So, in 2 Timothy, in the second chapter, they all left him. He was alone. So we have got to know this call. You know?
Amen.
I'm not coming down on the vision and writing it down, but, you know, it's a no-so thing. We have to step out on it and move with it. Praise God. So I move on, whether I'm in the pulpit or whether I'm standing on the street corner, I got to move on with it. He's called me.
That's exactly what I've been, you know, moving forward to doing. Street preaching. I'm talking about standing on the corner, you know, and just blasting the gospel. You know, I don't have to wait on that podium. And so it's just been real encouraging to hear. Go ahead, Dunlap, were you going to say something?
I was about to say, hello, y'all. This is Brother Dunlap. I'm one of the hosts of the PR.
Can I just give a real testimony? You know, I was all hung up on that. Well, I need the house, and you know, I need the car, you know, and I want to take a couple trips. And the more I had, or I was obsessed with those things, the more further away those things went from me. When I became more devoted to doing His will, everything, it just comes. My husband and I was, how did this happen? It just comes.
Amen.
I don't know, and I believe it's all in His plan. The plan we've been taught, it is all a part of His plan, of the plan when we do His plan.
Amen. Because He said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and everything will be added to you. That's what He said now. That's what the Bible said. That's what the Word says.
Wow.
It's red, isn't it?
Because I know you may go in and out on it. So go ahead I hear you say that you have a point that you want to make. So go ahead, and then I'll come right behind you.
Are you talking about me?
Brother Feaster,
hello?
If you're still on.
Brother Feaster? Oh, okay.
There's a little delay, so we'll wait for him. If not, he'll come back. Let me see. He may have dropped off and come right back, so I want to give him the opportunity. Well, let me just make this point, and then if he comes back online, if we can hear him. You know, one of the things that you said, my brother, was this. Well, I won't say what you said because you said it. It's amazing that last night I was teaching, and I was talking about being a pastor. And one of the things that I said was there's a difference between the office of a pastor and the calling of a pastor. I said some folks never get the opportunity to fulfill the office of a pastor in a congregational church.
Amen.
But you've never get an opportunity to get a call to be a pastor from man in a congregational church because no matter how we say it, some man or some woman or some committee has to say, we want you. That's the bottom line. That's the way congregational churches operate, at least on the western part of the world. But there's a difference between the calling of a pastor. When you're called to be a pastor, you go and you do what God has called you to do.
Right.
And let me read something to you from a book that I'm reading. The name of this book is called The Intentional Church. It's from an author by the name of Randy Pope. And here's what he talks about. There's a couple of 7 points, but here's number 6. A growing transformational church requires adequate financial resources. Everyone in occupational ministry has heard the statement that when God calls you to ministry, he supplies the financial resources. True as this may be, you and I both have known many ministerial leaders chronically handcuffed and discouraged because of the perennial lack of funds. Certainly God is faithful, but inadequate education on stewardship, inappropriate and unwise fundraising techniques, you know, the fish, the chicken dinners, and, okay, prayerlessness. Car washes, prayerlessness, poor management, and risk avoidance all play a part in a ministry's financial woes. Here's the part. Financial resources follow a clearly defined vision. When you say, when y'all were talking about a pastor, something said, it's something I read in this book. I didn't even have this in my notes for tonight. But financial resources follow a clearly defined vision. Show me a church with a clearly defined vision as well as both a commitment and a plan to accomplish the vision, and I'll show you a church that most likely will have the adequate financial resources. So there it is. It's already out there. We just have to be the ones to actually operate in what God has actually called us to do. That's it. So let me see if Brother Feaster is back with us. Brother Feaster, are you back with us?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, this is just good old time zone and this Korean economy here, this the technology. I had one point, but JR, when you got finished talking, you gave me another point. And based on the technology I'm having, based on the interruptions I'm having, I'm going to make these two comments, and I'm going to restrain myself from saying anything else. If I got anything else to say, I'll post it. But first we was talking about, my brother was talking about how people were not in his corner and discouraging him from trying to do what he had to do, and he went to the Word and started searching the Scriptures. I actually had a meeting with a man Monday night. He called me up. He actually told me Sunday that he needed to talk to me. And so Monday he called me and asked what I was doing. I was like, I'm not doing nothing. So we sat down and talked. And his brother began to tell me how people are having issues with what I'm teaching at Bible study. Now, mind you, I'm at a chapel, and in this chapel there is more than one denomination. So I am right now considered what I would call Baptist, but I'm Bible. I like going to Baptist churches, but I preach the Bible. I don't preach Baptist doctrine. I preach the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the comments, like I'll make the statement, I'm challenging your doctrine. I'm challenging your doctrine. And so I had to expound on that the last time I taught and tell them, I'm challenging your doctrine, not that, you know, I'm trying to, you know, say that what you know is wrong. I'm just trying to get you to understand what you say you understand. For example, I asked the question, what is sin? And nobody had the answer. So then I was like, well, if we can live a sin, how can you say you can live a sinless life or a life free from sin if you don't even know what sin is? So people are having issues that I'm challenging their doctrine, you know, so they're coming up with this stuff, and he brought it to my attention. And I was a little upset when he told me Monday night, and I prayed about that thing. And when I got up Monday morning and I was talking to one of my brothers, I was like, man, I'm in good company. They ran Paul and Silas. They beat Jesus, my father in the ministry. I'm in good company with all these people that are being persecuted from teaching biblical doctrine. So I feel like I'm in good company. So next time I get up to teach, I'm going to be a little more sensitive, but I'm not going to change what God is telling me to say to appease them, because when it's all said and done, I'm held accountable for the knowledge and information that God has given me.
Amen.
Now, what you do with that knowledge and information, that's on you, you know? And the other point I want to say is, JR, you made the point about there's the office and then there's the position of a pastor. I've been a minister now going on 17 years, and I've never been a pastor by position. But people call me a pastor. I take on the role as a pastor. You know, people treat me as a pastor. So I don't have a congregation which I'm responsible for saying, you know, I'm the one that has the name on a marquee. But every church I've been in, I've had members that I'm responsible for. So I don't look, I mean, I'm one of the pastors that don't have a congregation, but yet I'm responsible for so many parishioners. You know, and I don't take that lightly. I don't, excuse me. I don't take that lightly at all, because the only difference between the pastor that's over the flock and me that God is putting up, putting me over, the only difference is this man is responsible for me. You know? I mean, if God put on you this calling, if this is your calling, a lot of times he don't tell you how you're going to exercise it. You just exercise it. Let's go to David.
Amen.
David was anointed king at age 12. At age 12, he was anointed king. And he was in the kingship from 12 to about age 24. And then he got into position. He still had mighty men following him. He still was in charge. People were still listening, and he was still acting and behaving and being carried on like king, but yet he was not wearing the crown. Mm. It's still the same responsibilities. It's still the same duties. It's just difference of authority. That's really all it is. So whatever, like you said, my brother, whatever we're called to do, that's what we must do despite of the persecution, of what it looks like, anything. Because in the end, it all boils down to two things: listening to God and acting on what God said. That's it. It's a dependency. It's a dependent faith walk. That's what this is. And those are my comments. And while I got the chance, I'm going to say thank you and God bless you, because I don't know what this internet connection is going to be like here in a minute.
Thank you, bro. Good to talk to you as always. And we'll see you back in 2 weeks. But next week we're going to pick this up and go through a couple more scriptures. That's what I'm believing is going to happen right now. So we'll see you back in 2 weeks, man, and be safe over there, and we love you. All right. So we have about 10 minutes left in the show. That's what I'm believing right now. So Sister Mary.
Yes,
now,
I'm
y'all,
here.
Y'all, I want everybody to hear something. Y'all heard me say mama a couple times, and my brother called her mother. This is actually my mama, y'all. So I just wanted to put that out there just so you know, everybody understood why we were calling her mama, not just out of respect for being of the elder age to those of us, because we know we're talking on radio and nobody knows that. But that's my mama. Mama, I love you. I'm so proud of you. I'm going to just tell it like
Thank
it
you.
Is. We already knew Brother Peter was going to be on a little bit late. Sister Adia, something came up with her, and I said, Mama, I need you to come on and be on the show as Sister Mary. You know, that's that same thing we were just talking about. I didn't need mama to come on as my mama. I needed her to come on as Sister Mary, a woman who was anointed by God, a woman who knows this word, a woman who prayed for me when I was running around doing all that I wanted to do. And I needed her to come on. And mama was a little bit nervous. I said, look, we just going to have a conversation like we always do. Matter of fact, we talk for about 20 minutes before the show, even there. If mama hold that, hold your mule. I need you to hold some of this pen so you can have some for the show. So with that, Mom, I just want to thank you for joining us. I'm going to let you take about a minute or less if you have something that you want to say before we get ready to shut it down for the night.
Okay, thank you. This has been, I've just really enjoyed myself, and I'm proud of you too. And what I want to say is that not fulfilling our calling because of man, because, you know, I've been, you know, with the Lord over 27 years, and I've been involved in different ministries, and, you know, the theme is that my pastor say I'm not ready, my pastor say, and then some of them sitting for 5 years and say, my pastor say I'm not ready, and, you know, and When you've been taught that, and then you're afraid because it says now you have to do what your pastor say, because your pastor hearing from God, and the pastor, and if you say, and you know, and if you know in your spirit, and you, if we know in our spirit what God has called us to do, and we have, and it has been confirmed through the word, and like you say, sometimes people come and confirm it, but because our pastor says, you know, you're not ready, then it's like we have put him, you know, over top, you know, put him above God. Because now God's word, I mean, God is first, and we say he's first in our lives. You know what I mean? And so now if he's first in our lives, then that, then we should be saying, okay, the word is first. And if he's revealing to us that this is what he wants us to do, and now, then that's what we need to do. But I think that some of us, we do get afraid, you know what I mean, because we don't want to go against the pastor, and you, and then they tell you, you don't want to get out of God's will. And so if we don't seek this word for ourselves, I can tell you from experience the things I've been through. If you do not seek Jesus, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And he says, everything will be added to you. If we don't seek this word for ourselves, and we do not pray, and some things have, some things only come through praying and fasting. And if we don't do those things, you know, we're going to be just, you know, just be led, just like you, you know, take, just lead, just led anywhere. If he says jump this way, you jump that way. God's saying no, be still, no, but my pastor told me to do this, and my pastor told me to do that, you know what I'm saying? And I've had various times, I've had people, when I have been in nursing homes, you know, and the Lord's used me there, you know, I feel say, well, say, are you this, that, and the other, you know, is it time, you know, and I said, no, I'm just here. Well, who is your pastor? And I tell him, I say, oh, my God, he's holding you back, you know, because, and I don't know, a reputation had a not, you know, but myself, you know, I believe in, you know, respect, you know what I mean, and but I have learned over the time that I, God, please, you show me here, you know, show me. And a lot of times, like I say, we do run to the pastor, and pastor, what you think about this? No, it should be what God's told me to do. And so I enjoyed myself tonight. Okay.
Thanks so much. We love you. We love you. All right,
love,
we have
too.
A couple for couple more people sitting at the table. So our sister from North Carolina, are you still on the line with us?
I am here, and I'd just like to say it's been a blessing to be with the table tonight, and I just wish you much success each week as you come back on to lead and guide us. Thank you so much.
All
everyone.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you just fellowshipping with us tonight. And I do want to read, we do have a comment from one of our listeners who has posted on Facebook or has sent it through a message. And the comment was, this is good stuff. I wanted to get a comment in, but y'all got it. This is some delicious spiritual eating. You won't believe I was having this conversation with my cousin before I got onto the call. It is not about living your life. Be happy. It's about living your God-given purpose. So I messed that up a little bit, but it is not about living your life to be happy. It's about living your God-given purpose. So, caller, we thank you for that comment. We'll make sure we get that posted to our PRF page. And, my brother, I do want to just give, we got about 3 minutes left on the show, so I do want to just give you about a minute to tell the people, to tell our listening audience who are going to be heard around the United States and, of course, overseas, who you are, what you have going on. So I'll give you about a minute to do that, and we'll let you be the last person getting up from the table this evening. Go ahead, brother.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. My name is Jason Johnson. I'm the pastor of the Christian Life Center in Columbus, Georgia. And let me just thank everybody for, you know, for your input and for your words of encouragement. I really enjoyed it tonight. And as always, you know, I just love talking to my brother Dunlap. You know, this is something we do, you know, often. And so, you know, it's just, you know, to be able to do it again is just always a blessing. On June the 7th, you guys can just write down on your calendars, June the 7th, at 2:30 p.m., we'll be having my pastoral installation. And so if you guys are in town, you guys are in the area, we would love for you guys to come out and support me and my wife and, you know, our church, our brand-new church that we have just launched. And so we're just looking for that support. If you guys can't make it, you guys can go to www.thechristianlifecenter.org.
That's thechristianlifecenter.org. And we put up posts on our website. We put up encouraging words. We put up articles. Everything is free, made available to everyone. And so just support us with your prayers and support us with your generous giving if God leads you to do so. Again, thank you, Dunlap, for, you know, for this this quick commercial break. And, you know, back to you and headquarters, man. Again, thank y'all so much.
Thank you. And if you will, just so those who may not have stayed to the end of the show but is following us on our Facebook page, if you will, just go in and drop a link on under tonight's show on our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances, and then link it to my page, and we'll definitely do all we can to make sure we give this brother our support. Again, it's all about ministry. And let me just tell you, my brothers and my sisters, there is no way that I could have ever planned a show like we had tonight. So I can just say from the bottom of my heart, this was just an awesome, awesome experience. So let us continue just to feast on God's word and be together like brothers and sisters should be in the Lord. So until next week, God bless you and we love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.